Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is Tell Del Tuesday, and I'm happy to have with us today Nicole and Greg Scott. This fine couple have been members for many years now. And in addition to that, about 5 years ago, they both decided to start giving back. And Nicole has been a mentor for Multifamily National, and Greg has been a life changer out there spreading the word. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del.
Thank you for having us on again, Del.
Well, let's start for people, you know, that have not gotten to know you yet. Let's start at the very beginning. Tell us about what your life was like and why you decided to look into lifestyles.
Well, I guess I'll start off because I kind of started off the journey that we had here. Nicole and I both worked for Ford Motor Company, and we knew that there were some challenges there. When the great financial crisis hit, there was 1 week where about 25% of our friends got laid off, and our 401k had become a 201k, and we realized that there were some challenges there. And we were trying to find other ways to have additional streams of income. So the first thing we thought, when we watch HGTV, flipping sounds really easy. Why don't we do that? So we started off with a flip that did not go well, because around the time that we closed on this very expensive property was the week that Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler and a lot of the other automotive companies laid off a ton of people. So it was kind of a double whammy on us. We got that house fixed up really quick and did a pretty good job with that, but then nothing was selling. And ended up finding our very first rent property because somebody walked in and said, I'd love to buy this house, but I can't. I got this little tiny house over here. And our realtor said, I will bet you that the people that own this expensive house would love to buy your inexpensive house. And that was our very first rental. That's how it all started many years ago.
So did you trade them for the big house, or did you just outright buy the small house? Or
They bought the expensive house, so we got most of our money back, and then we just outright bought the small house. And, effectively a trade, but we turned it into a rental, and it was slightly cash flow positive. So we went from, mortgage payment that was burning a hole in our pocket to cash flow neutral. And I'd always been afraid of the tenants, toilets, and taxes, and by accident got into it, and after a year of running that property realized that it wasn't so scary and it was pretty easy to do.
It's funny, you say you've been afraid of the taxes, tenants, and toilets. When I started, I wasn't afraid of that. I was afraid of the house sitting there not making me any money and not being able to sell it, and it cost too much to rehab it. In other words, everything that you thought seemed easy was what scared the bejeebers out of me. Owning a big expensive home, hoping somebody will buy it. Isn't that funny that my fears were exactly opposite of yours?
Yeah, they are somewhat different. Although, we had just finished that flip, so we knew how to rehab a property. And we did the rehab fine, it's just our timing was terrible. And we learned that flipping can be a very dangerous business.
So this, I assume, was in Detroit?
Yeah, this was in Metro Detroit. From there, that really started off our journey, because after realizing that owning a rent property wasn't so scary, I started listening to podcasts and hearing, the secret to wealth is having rental property. I didn't really know how to go about doing it, and we didn't want to have a rental portfolio in Detroit because Detroit real estate is very much tied to the automotive industry, which is what we were in. Wanted to find something counter-cyclical, so the next step is we started buying turnkey rentals, which is a property that somebody's already fixed up for you. Sometimes they put a tenant in it. We would pay basically full price for the property, and we found some around the country that were cash flowing, and we ended up buying five in several different states and running those. And that seemed like a great first step, but we were not understanding why our returns were not so good. And so I kept going out and looking for what we were doing wrong, and that's when we ran across Lifestyles, and that was the start of everything that just completely changed our lives.
So for those out there that don't understand, when you're buying these deals, these turnkey deals, what you're leaving behind is the profit. The profit, the people that bought them and renovated them and turned them over to you as a turnkey deal, they took all the profit out of the deal. We make anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 a house generally in equity capture. So you're leaving that behind. So there's a next lesson you learn right there. These lessons are adding up. What and how did you finally find Lifestyles Unlimited?
Well, I just ran across it in a podcast, and I say this in the financial freedom program, but the very first podcast I listened to, I thought, oh, it's another guru scammy program. But I had this rule that I always listened to at least five versions of the podcast or 5 days of the podcast before I made a decision if I was going to keep it or not. And by the fifth day, I realized that everything Lifestyles taught was just really good business sense. And there was nothing about trying to cheat grandma out of money or getting money for nothing. Nothing like that. It was just very, very good business practices. And so that's what had me stick around with Lifestyles and learn a lot more.
That's an interesting practice. I wonder how many hours I would still be listening to stuff. If I listen to 5 podcasts for every one that I listen to, that's pretty interesting. All right. So we commend you for the ability to stick with it and get through the hype and of everything. And so what finally got you to come in and take a seminar or a workshop?
Yeah. So this was 2011. So Lifestyles was still very much a Texas-based organization. There was a handful of classes online. One of them was a recording of you, Dell, teaching the Financial Freedom Program. And I watched that and I thought, this is great. So I tried to actually first start implementing it in Detroit. And the market was very depressed at that time. But the biggest challenge I had was, you know, in Lifestyles, when you're buying single family properties and you find a fixer upper, we teach you how to use hard money loan, which is a temporary loan. And then later you turn it into permanent financing. And the recession had hit Detroit so hard that all the hard money lenders had gone out of business. So I looked for a while, couldn't do that. But then I heard on the radio program a guy from Iowa that was buying properties in Dallas, and he was doing it. So I called Lynn Murrow and said, hey, can you put me in touch with this guy? And he gave me a call. He's now a great friend of ours. But he was telling us how he was buying distressed properties in Dallas-Fort Worth area, fixing them up, and he was just getting these massive returns. And my thought was, well, if a guy from Iowa can buy in Dallas and make it work, why can't a guy from Detroit buy in Dallas and make it work? And so that we, at that point in time, we upgraded our membership to Preferred, and we started buying properties in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
You know, when I was reviewing your bio, I thought I saw a piece in there where Nicole said she sent you to Dallas to find out if we were real. Was that a part of your story, or am I just imagining that?
Oh, no, that's
you're
real.
Right.
Yeah, well, that was when we were debating. Sorry, go ahead, Nicole. You tell it.
Yeah, when Greg got really excited about the prospect of learning how to do this the right way. But our, you know, kids were younger and we had very demanding jobs. But he wanted to, you know, go down to one of the offices and make sure there was an actual building with actual people, right? Make sure it wasn't fake. And so he went down for a long weekend and I stayed home so our little kids didn't burn the house down, and came back and was just over the moon. I mean, cloud nine, so excited. And I mean, that's really what started this whole thing.
So I was going to ask you guys, do either of you or both of you have any dynamic of one being a type A, one being a type B, or any portion of one's the charger and one's the anchor?
I don't think so. We're both pretty, probably more leaning toward type B than type A. But we're pretty well balanced, I feel like. But we have kicked each other in the butt when necessary. You know, one of us usually is driving the ship, but it trades off between us. So it's pretty interesting how that works.
All right, now I'm going to swing all the way over to the other side of the spectrum here. And Greg, wanted to ask you, since you were the guinea pig to go up and listen to the 2-day, came back excited, what were the aha moments? If you can think back, what was it, the light bulb that went on and said, man, that's it, that's what we're missing, the secret sauce?
Oh, yeah, the very first time we heard the Financial Freedom Program, there were two things, really. Hard money, because I had never had any exposure to hard money, which, as I mentioned before, is a temporary loan that we use when you're buying a property that needs a lot of rehab. And it allows you to minimize your cash out of pocket after you've refinanced out of that loan. So that one was like, oh, this is what I've been missing. And by the way, when we implemented the lifestyles processes, we made a ton more money on our single family rent properties than we had with those turnkey rentals. But I think the other thing that really opened my eyes was everything about apartments. I'd never had exposure to that. And that was just an incredible learning experience.
So as a life changer, which is the person that teaches the initial classes, for those out there that don't know, we have weird names for things in our company for some reason. But as a life changer, you do the two-day class. Do you still get the response that I always used to get on the second day in the very beginning when you show people what their absolute net return is on their net worth? Does that still pop up?
It does shock people, because once they start realizing that their money really is not working that hard for them, I think it opens their eyes. And then when they see other people in the room who are real estate investors whose money is working very hard for them, they realize the path to retirement is not working hard for your money. It's having your money work harder for you.
So it's weird, because the average rate of return the average family earns is less than 1%. I proved that 100 times over. Every time I do a seminar, everybody in the room is less than 100%, except those that are doing real estate investing. And if you figure, if you just earned 1% and somebody else earns 5%, that's 500 times better, right? Because if you went from 1 to 2, that's 100% better, right? 1 to 5 is 500% better. Some people have 10% returns, that's 1,000% better. And you just don't realize that somebody else is getting 500 to 1,000 times better results than you are doing the same thing that you're, or not doing the same thing you're doing, but investing the same amount of money.
Exactly. I kid and said about it.
You came home excited. You came and created a plan. What was the plan?
Well, we wanted to start doing single family rentals in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We signed up for the preferred membership, which allows you to do single family and multifamily, and just had some interest in multifamily, but our focus was really single family. What was amazing is the very first deal that we bought, we captured enough equity that it actually more than paid for our preferred membership. So I felt like I was playing with house money at that point anyways. But we went on to buy 9 single-family properties in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But during that time, Nicole and I would come down to Dallas to take the classes, because, again, this was really before Lifestyles went national. And so to get the biggest benefit of the membership, you had to come down to one of the offices. And it was expensive to fly down, so we would fly down when there were 2 or 3 classes in 1 week. So we would always go down and have a single-family event and then a multifamily event. And after buying rent properties for 2 years, we started looking at ourselves and said, how come we haven't done any of this multifamily stuff? And that was when we decided to switch into passive investing in multifamily.
And how did you guys approach that? Take us through the steps you guys had to mentally go through to get to there.
Nicole, why don't you take that
I'll take this one. So, you know, the first step is getting educated so that you can understand what you're looking at, learning the business from a passive investor perspective. You have to know enough to be able to make wise decisions. Getting to know the different folks that were actually, you know, buying the properties and who we wanted to partner with on our passive investments. And that was a very interesting journey, because we had already been active in the office a little bit here and there. And so we already knew some folks. And so it just kind of naturally occurred. We already kind of had friends that were already, you know, going to be buying property or had already bought property. And our first very few passive investments did extremely well for us. And our friends, we would get so excited when we would visit them. They started asking us, you know, how come you're not doing this? And my response was, well, because we don't live in Texas. And they just looked at me and they said, well, I'm pretty sure they have apartments where you live, right? Kind of pushing back a little bit. And you know, it really got Greg and I thinking, maybe this is something we should consider. And we had to do a lot of research and education ourselves, and we weren't really sure, right? Could the lifestyles model work somewhere else? And we ended up in 2016 buying and syndicating our first multifamily community in the suburbs of Detroit. And we bought a 24 unit. We purposefully went very small because, you know, Detroit doesn't have a very good reputation nationally. And we weren't really sure how many people would want to send money from Texas, where, you know, everybody knows it's a great market, up to our neck of the woods. But we had great support, and we did our first deal. We owned it for almost 4 years exactly. And we returned 144% to our passives, and that's after giving them back their initial paid-in capital. So if you gave us a dollar, we gave you back $2.44 at the end of the day. So we were very pleased with that.
So I'm going to inject some information here, and then we can dissect this a little bit. It says here that you've owned 45 to 50 deals as passive, still are in 35 of them. You've done lead. You've done four lead deals. You're still in three of those. So where did the 45 to 50 passive deals come in? Before or during or after, or all combined when you started doing the lead deals? I'm just curious how you...
All combined. Yeah, we've been active passive investors this entire time because, you know, we have a very narrow scope of where we would feel comfortable owning and operating multifamily communities. But there's so many areas across the country that are fantastic areas to invest in. So we want to invest in those other markets as well. So we invest with other people, you know, friends of ours that are also in Lifestyles Unlimited that are buying property in those areas. And those folks of other leads invest with us in our properties because it's too far for them to buy where we are, but they get the opportunity to invest as we do in all different kinds of markets around the country.
All right, great. I think that's a good place to take a break with Nicole and Greg Scott and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward, and y'all have everything provided. I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Nicole and Greg Scott. As we went to break, they were talking about the fact that they've done, you know, 45 to 50 passive deals and four different deals where they were the lead investor of the deal. So when we break this down, I guess what I want to know, and we can pick whichever order you want to go into, I guess probably passive first. What I'm going to want to know is, when you were picking passive deals, what were the criteria? And then we'll get later into when you're picking the lead deals that you were going to lead people to, what were your criteria? So let's start with the passive. What do you think is important, guys? You both are highly involved in both teaching this and doing this. What should a passive look for in a deal?
I'll jump in first, and Nicole, feel free to add. First and foremost, Nicole and I are agreed on this. We will only invest with people that we have met and we feel like they've got a good head on their shoulders. If we're questioned at all about that, we won't invest no matter how great the deal appears to be. So that's kind of our first filter. And we like to, you know, have some sense that they have business skills. Maybe they've been a lead in the past, or maybe they've had other business experiences that they can rely on. Then the second thing is we look at the deal. Even if we love the lead, if we're not comfortable with the deal, we won't get in the deal. We like to see deals that are in areas where there's population and job growth, because it's a lot easier to swim downstream than it is to swim upstream. And we also like to see the underwriting of the lead. Are they being conservative in the rents that they think they're going to achieve, or are they being aggressive? Are they conservative in the expenses, or are they aggressive? and we just kind of assess that. And if so we like the lead and we like the deal, then we're usually in.
I think that Greg really just summed it up pretty nicely. We do a lot of our own research. You know, once, you know, if the syndicator, if the lead is somebody that we know well and like, that's an easy thing for us to move on to the next step. And then we do our own research on the deal itself. You know, so Greg mentioned economics. So we'll look at the rent projections. We'll look at, is the population growing? What's the median income? What's the job opportunities in the area? You don't want to go to a one-horse town, right, where if the one plant or the one company that feeds that town goes out of business, it, you know, hurts everyone. So we look at all of those factors before making a final decision.
All right. So let's talk about diversification as into, do you think about that? And if so, is it diversification of location? Is it diversification of leads? Is it diversification of types of deals? How do you try to structure your portfolio for protective purposes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll take that. We do all three of those things. And in some ways, you know, you look at the opportunities that are presented to you. So there's, you know, deals coming across your desk all the time, different times. And sometimes we don't have cash, right, when a deal comes in. And so, well, I guess we have to let that one go by because we don't have any cash at the moment. And so you'll have opportunities presented to you at different times, and you may have the ability or the not ability at any given time to invest. And so we've gotten in all kinds of different opportunities around the country with different leads that we know and feel will be a good steward of our money. And different types of business plans as well, different lengths of time and different types of properties, meaning some that have needed a lot of love, a lot of rehab work, and some that have needed just to be better operated. And so it was more of a cash flow immediately type of deal. And we've really benefited from having diversification across all of those different things.
You mentioned it. Sometimes we did have cash, sometimes we did. When you started, did you have a cash management plan, which is going to encompass two things? How much cash do we keep aside for emergencies? But also, how much do we put in each deal? Because in your case, it really becomes complicated because you're not just trying to diversify out into passive deals. You're doing some of these deals where you're the lead and need to put up a substantial amount of cash to do it generally. How did you guys work out the cash model?
Yeah, so I just happened to be looking at some of this data yesterday. I mean, Nicole mentioned we're fairly conservative, so we always keep probably the equivalent of 2 years cash on hand. So if we had no income coming in, we could survive for 2 years with just the cash we have. We don't think that it's realistic that we'll have no income, though. But we have our investments in real estate split into a third, a third, a third. About a third of our total investments are in our own deals here in Indianapolis. We have about another third that are in various cities across Texas. And as Nicole mentioned, some of them are more short-term oriented and some of them are long-term. Some of them are fixer-uppers and some of them are what we would call a yield play, a property that's in good condition. And then the remaining third are in about five different states across the country. And so we love the geographic diversity. Again, we're always just looking for cities that are growing and leads that we have confidence in and deals that seem to make sense to us that are conservatively underwritten.
All right. So you didn't have a cash plan as in, hey, we're never going to put more than $100,000 in any one deal. We want to save enough. We're going to start doing our own deals, so we need to hold back an amount for that. You didn't think that through that way, or you just ran into stuff as you ran into it? Or?
It did take some discipline. When we knew we were looking for our next lead deal, we would slow down, right, or pass on more passive opportunities that came to us because we didn't know exactly how much cash of our own we would need for our next deal. So we did, you know, at sometimes we put the gas pedal down, and at other times we eased off it and put the brakes on for a minute.
Okay. Let's talk about multifamily. How did you pick your multifamily deals you wanted to lead into?
So Nicole mentioned the first one we had in Detroit. We had originally intended to build in Detroit, or build our portfolio in Detroit. And there just was not a lot of deals that were coming to the market. And for a year, we searched and couldn't find anything. So we started expanding our focus. And at one point, we were looking at all of Ohio, all of Indiana, and Lower Peninsula of Michigan. And we had had rent properties in Indiana before. And we noticed that there was a lot of deal flow there. So we started coming down, looking at some of the deals, got to know the brokers really well. We made it to best and final on four different properties. Originally, our goal was to look at 100 unit. We got to best and final on a couple hundred units. And then they're like, oh, here's a 150 unit you might want to look at. We got to best and final on that. And they're like, hey, here's a 200 unit. We got to best and final on that. And we're getting more and more comfortable with underwriting big deals. And then finally they came and they said, we got this one property that we think might be good for you. It's 272 units. And that was the first property we had bought down here in Indianapolis. I'm actually sitting right at the property right now. It's Beach Meadow Apartments in Beech Grove, Indiana.
So, Greg, we fill the room. Half the people are excited to be there. Half the people are skeptics. That's what the proposal is. Can you take that room and turn them into believers? How does that make you feel when you take those skeptics and turn them and they come up to you and say, wow, you've changed my life?
I love to do it because I'm always inspired by the stories I hear of other Lifestyles members who have changed their lives. I'll never forget listening to every week on Thursdays, Lifestyles has a case study. And I heard of a woman who was a housekeeper. I think she was out of Houston. And she had bought a first single family house and a second. And she retired herself. She was a multimillionaire just being a housekeeper. We see that all the time with our membership. And so I try to do my best. There always will be skeptics. And there are always people that will remain skeptics. But I try to do my best to get across to the folks that here is an opportunity to change their life that they're never going to get anywhere else. It's up to them to take the steps, but we have the training and the support system for you and Lifestyles to help you get there. And it is really rewarding when you do see people take that step, and then a few years later they come tell you their success stories. And frankly, it always drives me crazy when I can't convince the skeptic to take the steps because they don't even realize how much they're hurting themselves. And I get excited teaching the class because I am trying to get people to see the opportunities that are in front of them if only they take the steps to move forward.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on today, and I want to thank you for being a mentor and a life changer and all that you do for Lifestyles, all the give back that you've given back. I also want to congratulate you on all the success you've had over the years. I've heard nothing but good things about you the entire time I've known you, so that's a wonderful thing. For the rest of you out there, I want you to keep this in mind. It's just not some money. What we're talking about here is a completely different lifestyle, and that's what you need to hold on to. Everyone else, remember, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.